Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Welcome to Raising Good Humans. I'm Dr. Lisa Pressman. My first book, The Five Principles of Parenting, Your Essential Guide to Raising Good Humans, is out now. In this book, I've wanted to quiet all the noise that's out there and distill the science into five core principles. And using those principles, you can solve absolutely any parenting challenge, giving you the confidence to raise good humans. Order now and give yourself a little bit of ease.
This is Amanda Hirsch from the Not Skinny But Not Fat podcast. You might know me from Not Skinny But Not Fat on Instagram, where I spend my time talking about reality TV, celebrities, everything happening, and pop culture. I also talk to some of our favorite celebs and reality TV stars. We talk about what's going on. Tune in every Tuesday and just feel like you're talking with your best friends in your living room. You guys, Mike, the situation is here. Can you believe?
Indeed.
I can't believe. You can believe because this is, you're on a press tour, you're talking, you're promoting your book. I can't believe because this is bringing me back.
Oh my gosh, stop it.
Crazy.
Yes, turned 15 minutes of fame into 15 years.
Good for you.
Yeah.
We were talking about your coffee order because my listeners know I love to know everything. So you walked in with this tall cup of coffee, had to know how you drink it.
Yeah.
It's with almond milk.
Yes. Almond milk, cold brew, venti. Yes. Usually I'm trying to fast. Usually I'm trying to diet, gym, tan, laundry is
We're always there.
We're always there.
Yeah.
But that was a really good question you asked me when I first walked in. You were like, you used to be so crazy. You know, this recovery.
Now you're drinking almond milk?
Yeah.
Now
you're
drinking.
I'm like, yeah, listen, you know, it's the personality. It's an all or nothing. And now I'm this amazing father, this amazing employee for Viacom, you know, just trying to kill the game in every aspect because I have that obsessive personality, you know. But many, many years ago, and one of the reasons why we're here promoting the book, I was a maniac, and I was on the opposite side of the spectrum.
You know what else you were in? You know, getting into that nostalgic state of mind really brought me back. You were like conniving. You were like
schemy.
Scheming. You were scheming.
Yeah.
But it was so good for reality TV.
Yeah.
And it's so, I mean, you're not like that anymore, but you would talk to the girls about the boy. Like, you could play both sides in a way where, like, you were so loved by your castmates.
Yes.
But then, like, we would get the tea behind the back and you would kind of spill it.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people don't know before the show, I was a drug dealer and that was my job. Yeah.
You were a drug dealer before the show?
Yeah. I was good at it too.
But you weren't really doing drugs majorly until the show, I thought.
No. Right before the show, I had just gotten out of rehab, which most people don't know. And I never really revealed it until, you know, just dropping this book recently.
So casting didn't know either.
No. I didn't really want to tell anybody. I mean, you're going on a show, you're partying, and you're going to tell the casting person, yeah, hey, I just got out of rehab. They're going to be like, oh my God, we got a problem
here.
Right.
They wouldn't want that responsibility.
Probably. They probably next. I mean, you do get a psyche eval when you do these shows. But I'm sure the red flags would have been.
Yeah, they wouldn't have taken, you know, that. But it's yeah. it's smart that you were so young, but you kind of knew that sharing
yeah.
that
yeah.
would prevent you probably from going on the show.
Probably. But the first season, I only drank.
Wait, so you got out of rehab for what drug at the time?
For pills. Oxycodone, Xanax, Valium. I used to be like a pharmacy. You know, I used to sell prescription
How were you
drugs.
Getting these drugs?
I used to have friends in Brooklyn, Staten Island. We used to find people that had prescription pads. We'd figure out how to write them. And TID, next thing you know, TID means three times a day. And you got 90 Roxasets. And you got to have the, I guess, the balls to go into the pharmacy and roll the dice, which a number of times I did for months and months and months. But eventually there was a close call.
Like where they would be like, what the fuck are you doing? Who are you? You don't
know.
No,
for months, this particular caper was working. And then eventually I went into a pharmacy, myself and my cousin, which is in my book. And we dropped off a prescription for, you know, 90 oxycodone, 30 milligrams a piece. So we had two prescriptions. I went next door to get a slice of pizza. And within 5 minutes, the whole parking lot was full of cops.
So what'd you do? Run away?
No, I couldn't, because as soon as I saw the flashing lights, they walked in the pizza place, because I guess you're in the complex, you know, the pizza place was right next to the pharmacy, and they had my cousin arrested outside over a cop car, and they were looking for the other assailant,
yeah,
you know, and which was me. And I ended up escaping that day, because I walked out and I said, I don't know what you're talking about. I was just getting a slice of pizza. And my cousin, who was in handcuffs, he was like, oh my God, that's my cousin right there. He came with me. And I'm like, I don't know what he's talking about. But I ended up escaping the law that day. But we all might know I didn't escape the law for too long, because I ended up going to prison many, many years later in 2018.
Usually when people, I mean, the stories that we know for people that didn't experience drug addiction, usually it's people that struggled at home. Like, what were you escaping from that you wanted to be on drugs at such a young age?
I wasn't escaping anything. I was just always trying to push the envelopes of everything. I kind of liked the way that it made me feel when I took a Percocet. So I kind of...
But isn't it just like numb you?
I mean, it works different on everyone. Everyone's yeah. body's differently. But I liked the way that it felt. And that first Percocet, when I tried it when I was 19, I kind of, to be honest with you, fell in love with the opiates. Everybody has a drug of choice, I guess, to a certain extent when they're experimenting and growing up, which I did. And eventually, with the lack of knowledge of self, which I didn't have at the time, I had an obsessive personality. So once I gave myself that drug, I wanted more and more and more and more. And I started to learn more about myself once I became famous and I had the millions of dollars. I always wanted more. I wanted more money, more cars, more attention,
yeah.
more women, everything.
In rehab, do they say that like an addictive personality is a thing?
Yes.
That's a thing.
It's a thing, yeah.
Okay.
It's a thing, yeah.
So that's what you would say is your... That's well, what yeah. led you down this road. It's like you get into things and you're all in.
Yeah. I'm never going to change that personality. I still got it. You know,
but towards healthy things.
Yes.
Now.
Well, eventually I figured it out through trial and error and obviously going through recovery four times. I went to rehab four times. I adapted the principles of recovery, the 12 steps, the serenity prayer, the sponsor, the recovery network. I did it all because I was just sick and tired of being sick and tired. I mean, my best thinking had led me to rehab four times. And I'm like, I got to try something different. So that's when I was like, I was desperate to be like, okay, I got to do something that work. Most people, they fail in this area, you know, of in addiction. The odds are against you. A lot of people, tragically, they don't right. make it. They're in jails, institution, and death. And so I desperately put all hands on deck and used my obsessive personality to redirect what I was doing in life to everything positive for days at a time, weeks at a time, months at a time, years at a time,
yeah.
until eventually I turned around and had years of sobriety, and I totally changed my entire life. And then the phone starts ringing, the people want to employ you, people want to be around you, how did you do it? It was really, you know, one day at a time.
So many docs came out and like just more information about like oxycodone.
Yeah.
Stuff. Did you watch the
I have. Yeah,
like
no,
the painkiller 100% movie
yeah.
or show? it's a wild ass drug. Killed so many people. Do you look back like, how did I survive?
100%. Like, when I read my book, I can't even believe that I'm still sitting in this on the sofa right now talking to you.
Yeah.
Because the amount of things and the stories in there could have taken my life many times.
Right.
I feel that God has spared my story so that I'm able to tell my story to help others.
Are you a sponsor? How does that work when you are in recovery? Do you then become somebody's sponsor? Do you ever do that?
I have not sponsored anybody yet. It's a little tricky when you're on TV and sponsor people. But
did people know you in rehab?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. As soon as you walk in, it's just like, oh, there's the Jersey Shore guy.
Oh my God.
Or there's the situation. Or can I take a photo? So wherever I went for many years, even when I was trying to seek recovery and trying to get better, there was always somebody snapping photos, always someone pointing the finger.
But at least there wasn't social media like as much, right? Like,
well, maybe. And well, social media came out in 2009. So, and you know, that's when Instagram came out and Twitter and things like that around 09 and 10. So my whole recovery, you know, has been under a microscope. So no matter where I go, I get a cup of coffee, I understand that there's probably going to be a photo taken, most likely.
Did that make it harder to get sober?
If you think about it, maybe it made things better. Because if you know there's a camera everywhere you go.
Right.
And if you make a bad decision or if you do something that's not kosher, I guess, it might be on TMZ or you know you're not going to do it. So maybe it held my feet to the fire, so to speak.
Right. And Lauren was with you through how much of this? Like, you're high school sweethearts.
Yeah, no, we're college sweethearts.
College.
We went out in college for about 4 years. And then I went to rehab. I got out of rehab and Lauren was, you know, she was following her dreams in the fashion world and she was doing her thing. And I didn't want her to be the girl that got away. And she kind of inspired me. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to go for my dreams, which is TV.
Okay. That was your dream?
My dream was always TV.
Really?
Yeah.
What did you think you were going to do on TV?
I thought I was going to be on like a Calvin Klein campaign at least. My abs were just so ripped up.
Like,
they were just so ripped up.
You were like, these abs need to be photographed.
Yeah.
Okay.
And oddly enough, my first year in TV, I was offered a Calvin Klein campaign and they offered me $50,000 and my team countered with $500,000. So I mean, it's just kind of funny, but I guess you guys can understand that we weren't able to find a happy medium there.
Yeah.
As Calvin Klein was offering $50,000. And my team is like, well, you know, you're talking to the situation. One of the biggest reality stars on the scene right now, our counter offer is $500,000. In hindsight.
Right.
In hindsight.
Yeah.
Now that, you know, it's many years later, I'm sober. I should have taken it.
Yeah. Sometimes you do things for the
Resume.
Right.
For the resume.
It's a brand.
An accolade.
Yeah.
Yeah. I should have done it for the resume, for the accolade. But I got a really cool story behind me turning them down. But I thought that my abs were so ripped up that I could at least get the Calvin Klein campaign and follow in Mark Wahlberg's.
Oh, he was your idol.
Yeah, he was. So I was trying to follow in his footsteps, which, like I said, I did get offered the campaign.
So that was a dream. So how do you
reconcile that?
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I was.
You're listening, Calvin Klein. The abs are still abbing.
Yes, yes. I was so wild and crazy that my first year or two in the business, I was the GQ Man of the Year in 2010, along with, you know, Drake and a few other people. I mean, if one endorsement was being presented, another one was coming right around the pike. So it was like, okay, I guess that didn't work out. You know, what about Lamborghini? Lamborghini offered to do a situation Lamborghini. And I was like, oh my God, I love Lamborghini.
Like, that's crazy.
That's crazy. Let's do this. And my team countered with, we would like two Lamborghinis.
Okay. Good team though. I mean, you know, they're putting you up high.
But like I said, obviously we weren't able to find the happy medium there, but those are the two that I still think about that. I should have took the situation Lamborghini and I should have taken the Calvin Klein campaign. But again, at the time I was really, really high all the time for many, many years straight with hundreds of pills in my pocket. And
it's
I'm lucky
wild,
to be here.
Wild though, Mike, because you say in your book that like your family didn't know, you were really good at hiding it. How good, like
They had an idea, but no one was able to catch me red-handed. The writing was on the wall. Same thing happened with like the networks and the production companies and everyone. The behavior was so erratic and unstable and wild. You can point it out and say like, "There's a problem there," or "There's a situation," pun intended. But they weren't, and no one was able to catch me red-handed with the pills in the pocket. Or a lot of the times, if people were about to frisk me, I caught you before you frisked me, and I'm like, "Yo, I'm about to call the lawyer. Are you sure you want to do that?" You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
So like, I was a brazen young kid doing all the wrong things, and then eventually that behavior, I'm not promoting it, eventually led me to prison. So I'm lucky to be here telling my story.
Right.
But it's quite a tale.
And today, to remind everybody, you're married, 2 kids, 1 on the way.
Yes, 8 years sober.
8 years sober.
Yeah.
So we're very happy for you.
Yo, yes, yes.
And it shows.
Yeah.
How are you working out and like doing all the things that you were doing at the time with so many? I wake up after a glass of wine and I can't move. I always think about that. Like,
I was always in really good shape, and I would pretty much build my body up for a few months, and then it would just get destroyed or whatever. And like, youth kept me going. Nowadays, I really don't put anything bad in my body. I will admit, I love diet soda. I love Diet Coke.
I had a feeling. I was like, really? Not even like a Diet Coke?
I know. Now these days, like, my wife is like, you're like, if I have a bad day, like a bad day, which is rare, I have a diet soda, maybe some Doritos or something, maybe some snacks.
Damn,
maybe I'll cheat.
You wild.
Listen.
You wild.
Yo, a real man cheats on his diet, not his woman.
I love that. And again, props to Lauren, because I remember when we met her on Jersey Shore, it was like, who is this sweet angel?
Yes.
Like right away, I feel like she got into everybody's hearts.
Yep.
Everyone was seeing you guys on TV doing the wild shit that you do. And then in walks this like angelic, just like kind, pure hearted human. And you're like, Lauren, what are you doing?
Yep.
What are you doing in this house, though?
Get out of there.
Get out. Run. She didn't. She stuck around.
Yeah. She was the college sweetheart. She's the angel. She saved my life once. And I'm lucky to be here right now talking to you. There's a few times she saved my life.
So you said you were together in college.
Yeah.
Then she was going to her passion. You were going to your passion.
And I tried to get back with her. And she's like, okay, you want to get back? You're rebuilding life. Okay. What's happening? And I'm like, well, I just got presented with this offer from MTV to be on this reality show. She's like, what's the name of it? Well, it's untitled right now, but what do you think? And she's like, I'm not going to be that girl that is home while her boyfriend's on some reality show cheating on her and calling me on the phone. And she said no to me. And she was 100% right. Not that I would have done that, but relationships don't work on reality TV unless they have a stable foundation.
Right.
So I went to Jersey Shore, and because at the time my girlfriend, she wouldn't get back with me. And she went to fashion school and did her thing.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
I truly cannot wait until I can drink truly again. Fill, you know, a cup with ice, pour in the ice cold hard seltzer, and try their new party pack. I'm really jealous that I can't try the party pack, so please try it for me. Truly now has something for everyone in more than 30 unique flavors, including three lightly flavored mix packs, berry, and the new party pack I was talking about. And the party pack has a flavor for everyone, so it's perfect for you and your friends. It has four fan favorite flavors, including the brand new raspberry, and it's got a little something for everyone. Bring it to wine night. Bring it to book club. Bring it to the gym. Bring it to work. No, I'm just kidding. Maybe not to the gym. With this new pack, there's nowhere you can't bring the party. Each flavor is super light, crazy refreshing, and made with real fruit juice. With only 5% ABV, 100 calories, and 1 gram of sugar in each can. That's each can. This isn't like, oh, per sip. So that's nothing. Truly is the perfect drink to keep you on track, you know, with all your New Year's resolution, trying to be healthier. So this, you know, 100 calories, 1 gram of sugar. To find Truly Hard Seltzer near you, go to trulyhardseltzer.com/locations. That's trulyhardseltzer.com/locations. Truly Hard Seltzer, keep it light. Truly Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly. You guys, today, everything is more accessible. The boomers can make fun of us all they want, but we are getting things done quicker and more efficiently. That also has to do with our mental health. So I wanted to tell you guys about Cerebral. They're here to help you achieve your mental wellness goals with professional therapy and medication management support that is 100% online. You can experience the all-new Cerebral way, which means an innovative approach to mental wellness designed around you. You'll get a personalized treatment plan from a therapist. You can get medication prescribed or both in a safe and judgment-free space. Listen, nowadays, leaving your house is just not always welcome. You know, it's like, oh, I have a doctor's appointment. Oh, I have to refill medication. Oh, I have to go pick up medication from the pharmacy. Oh, I have to go. You don't need to, you know, if you need help coping with stress, relieving anxiety, managing depression, finding focus, improving relationships, Cerebral can help. And like I said, everything is done online. And if you're looking for therapy, medication management, or both, they have you covered. You can get started right now on your path towards better mental health. Cerebral is giving my listeners 15% off their first month of online therapy, medication, or both. Get started at cerebral.com/podcast and then use my code NOTSKINNY to make 2024 your best year yet. That's Cerebral, CEREBRAL.com/podcast and use code NOTSKINNY. Oh my God, I was just so scared to wash my Quince cashmere top because I love it so much. You know, you're always like, if I wash this, will it ever be the same? But sometimes you got to do it, okay? And thank God it is good. But also, let's say it wasn't, it wouldn't be like a death sentence because at Quince, you're getting more bang for your buck. Quince is my go-to for luxury essentials at affordable prices. They have a range of high-quality items at prices within reach. They have Mongolian cashmere sweaters from $50, washable silk tops and dresses, organic cotton sweaters, and 14-karat gold jewelry. And the best part of all of this is that Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. The way they do this, they partner directly with top factories and they cut the cost of the middleman and they pass on the savings to us. Thank you. Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practice and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. I got so much neat stuff from Quince, like the cashmere short sleeve top I was talking to you guys about and linen pants that I wore throughout the summer. I wore these white ones to the US Open. Absolutely love it. Also, linen top, short sleeve, and long sleeve. Give yourself the luxury you deserve with Quince. Go to quince.com/notskinny for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, Quince.com/notskinny to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/notskinny. How did they approach you? How did they find you, MTV, at the time?
At the time, I was a drug dealer and a stripper. Good combo, right?
Right. Wait, did the stripper thing just come out now in your book, or were you open about it before?
I was not as open as I am with the book.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I really wrote this book and was raw and unfiltered because I was like, my life has been a reality TV show for the past 15 years. If I write a book and people are going to be entertained and love it, I really got to tell them a story that they don't know.
Right.
So I really went into everything that everybody didn't
every
know.
Every detail.
Yeah.
Okay. So you were a drug dealer and a stripper.
Yeah. Drug dealer and a stripper.
To make money, I'm assuming the stripping
to get
drugs too.
No, I was a pretty good drug dealer. I had money. And then I was also stripping because I kind of loved women and I was in really amazing shape. And I just thought it was like a win-win situation.
Like a strip club in Staten Island?
No, it was Mail Review.
What is that?
You don't know what Mail Review is?
No, am I supposed to?
Am I
supposed to subscribe?
Do you know what Mail Review is? No, you don't know what Mail Review is? Mail Review is where they do, right before the club opens up at, let's just say, 11, maybe from 8 to 11, they do the Mail Review, which is the guys are stripping and they're serving drinks for the girls. And usually they do that before the club opens.
In
Jersey.
Clubs that...
Club Abyss in Jersey.
Club Abyss in Jersey.
Well, yeah.
So you were going out in Jersey.
Uh-huh.
So were you staying at the Jersey Shore? Like, did that speak to you before the show?
Yeah. Jersey Shore was my spot.
Okay.
My stopping grounds. And I remember because Lauren went down the road of fashion school or whatever, and she was following her dreams. She inspired me to go after my dreams. I'm like, I'm not going to be the only one like left behind here, you know? So as Lauren is doing fashion school and doing internships for Ferragamo and all these other things, I was like, okay, so I'm going to stop drug dealing, which I did. And I was just in really amazing shape. And it prompted me to send a number of half-naked photos to fitness and underwear agencies in New York City.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Within about 3 days time, I got like yeses from a bunch of them. Now, these guys are probably like, you know, like JCPenney catalog type of caliber. But for me, I felt like I was on the right path.
Right.
And I didn't have to look over my shoulder anymore in drug dealing.
Right. You can make money from it.
Exactly. So as I was going to Go-See's in New York City for about 3 months, I bumped into a flyer that said the hottest Guidos and Guidettes in the tri-state area go to Harrah's in Atlantic City for a TV show. And I was like, that's me.
Were you calling yourself a Guido at the time?
I wasn't, because technically a Guido is a derogatory slang towards an Italian.
But so were you using it towards other people?
Did you consider
yourself one?
No. I just thought like at the time that when people were saying Guidos and Guidettes, that they weren't Italian.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Maybe it was an Irish guy that was running the flyer or something. You
so
know?
It didn't offend you.
It didn't offend you.
So then you go to Harrah's.
I go to Harrah's.
Oh my God, what would die to be at Harrah's that day and see a convention?
Yes.
It was a convention of all Jersey Shore type.
It was the hottest Guidos and Guidettes in the tri-state area. Everybody was hot. Everybody was good looking. Everybody was tan, naked, greased up, probably on GHB, fist pumping.
Do you remember seeing your castmates that eventually were chosen that day?
Not on that day, but I used to hang out with Sammy.
Oh, so you knew Sammy before?
I knew Sammy before the show, and I also knew Angelina before the show.
You did?
I did know them, too, before the show.
Good terms, like friendly? Because you turned on Angelina. Eventually. No, there was no loyalty there.
Okay, Sam, she used to hang out with the same people that I did, like a crew. So we were in the same crew.
Really?
Right? But it was almost like high and by. You know what I mean? But we went out together all the time.
That's crazy.
Okay. Now, Angelina, on the other hand, technically before the show, we kind of dated a few times, which they do reveal on this new season of Jersey Shore Family Vacation, which kind of just comes out because I have the book and I'm kind of like full disclosure. And they kind of find out that we kind of hooked up a couple times before the show.
How did you keep it a secret all these years?
I don't know. I really didn't like her when it.
But
when
how
the show
didn't
first
she?
Started.
How didn't she?
When the show first started, we didn't want the casting producers to know that we either knew each other or kind of dated.
You thought that would hurt?
Thought that would hurt the chances of being on a show that was like anonymous or something. You know? Like, oh, all these people in the house and everybody doesn't know each other.
Oh.
Meanwhile, like, I know Angelina, I know Sam, like, I knew a few people.
Oh, yeah. Smart. Damn, yeah. You guys thought of everything. Okay, so you go to this convention. Do you think, because you had confidence, right? You're like, I'm ripped, I'm in for this.
Yeah.
Did you think that you had a chance?
I definitely thought I was a chance. My abs were so ripped up. They looked like they looked like implants.
They did.
They looked,
there were eight of that?
Yeah.
Like how many?
Yeah,
it was eight?
I just had an eight-pack, and I could usually just eat whatever I want. And like, it was just, I attributed it to good genetics.
Yeah.
But I also worked out hard as well.
Yeah.
But I was the first one picked, one casted for the pilot in 2008. There were two others besides myself casted for the pilot. It was greenlit because VH1 had it first. And then once, because Viacom owns VH1 and MTV, eventually MTV took it from VH1 and then they grabbed some of the other cast, maybe from other shows or wherever, you know, everyone, they did some more castings.
And it ended up being the cast that we know.
Yeah, it ended up being the casting that you know, Snooki, JWoww, DJ Pauly D, Ronnie, Sammy, the sweetest bitch you'll ever meet, Angelina, and eventually Dina comes in a season or two later.
And we learn what DTL means.
Yes.
Then gym, tanning, laundry.
Yes.
The gym thing. All of you were really going to the gym that much?
100%. Yeah.
And the laundry thing. How much were you doing laundry?
I mean, technically, you know, if you don't go to the gym, you're not jacked. If you don't go tanning, you're pale. And if you don't do your laundry, you don't have anything to wear. So gym, tan, laundry is a way of life. It still is to this day.
Do you think did you make it up?
It was made up by myself and by Pauly in the living room. I have like these court documents.
Wait, did you copyright it?
I tried to
trademark it.
To trademark it. And then Viacom came in and was like, wait a second, not so fast. Because I was an employee of at the time, which is understandable.
Right.
When the judgment came down, where they're like, listen, it was originated by you and Pauly in the living room.
Yeah.
Gym, tanning, laundry. But it was done under the watch of you're an MTV
but
employee.
Do so they want it? Like, do they?
I was allowed to use it.
Oh, you're allowed to use it, but not trademark it.
You can trademark it and you're allowed to use it. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I believe that they owned it at the time. Maybe not anymore. But
Did you trademark the situation?
I did, yes.
So that's yours.
Yeah, that was done beforehand because that was done around the casting time.
Oh, you did it? That you did went through the process then?
Yeah, because when I came in for the first casting at MTV and I told them my nickname was The Situation, the producer was like, oh my God, that's amazing. Like, do you have that trademarked? And as a young kid, you're like, yeah, I have a trademark. But actually, you don't have a trademark. Right. Once I got out of the room, I'm like, can we get a lawyer? I need to trademark something.
So you did it.
Yeah, I trademarked.
Oh my God.
I trademarked it around the casting time. So it was before I went on the show.
Smart.
Yeah.
Because you would have been in the same pickle with the Situation if you didn't do it.
Exactly.
And did you add it officially to your name in any other capacity?
It's not on my birth certificate yet.
Yeah. Is it on driver's license?
No, but it was on my court documents, which I thought was very funny by the government, which was funny.
That is funny.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Very
that is
wild.
Yeah. You also came up with, I think, DTF.
Yes. Yes.
Which we all use.
Yes.
It's not, we all use down to fuck. Smushing.
That was made up on the show. Smushing. I don't know if Snooki made that up. I think Snooki made smushing up.
That's like hooking up.
Yeah. Well, more than hooking up.
Oh, that's like having sex.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Smushing.
Yeah.
And grenade was you.
Most likely. Yeah, most likely. I reluctantly have to say most likely yes. Because
it definitely wouldn't
fly today, but it was just a thing in the culture at the time. That was just a thing.
Yeah.
And everybody was saying it, like girls and guys.
Yeah, right.
You know, everybody was doing it. And it's just, we were very open, very raw, very authentic. Every single one of the cast, that's why it was super successful and still to this day. So,
still to this day. Yeah. Speaking of that, like, would the show be able to work today like it was then?
Oh, God. I mean, it would definitely make a big splash.
Right.
I mean, to the point where it's like, it's what they call like a disruptor. like a show that like disrupts things.
Yeah.
Like to the point where it makes changes. So if our show, which started in 2009, which was a cultural phenomenon, record ratings, if it came out in 2024, it could, like I said, it would definitely be a disruptor.
Yeah.
A game changer. Like it would definitely would cause
some
change.
It was a game changer then. Like everyone knew you.
Yeah.
You became mega celebs.
Yeah.
Leo DiCaprio comes up to you at a club.
GTL all day.
And he said that to you. Yeah. Were you shocked or were you so like jaded?
You're like riding the wave, but at the same time, Leo's like the actor of actors. Like
right.
He's
Leo.
He's the dude.
You're you know like, you're mean? Watching?
You're like, he's the dude. He's been the dude for like
right,
decades.
Right, he has been the dude.
Yeah, same with The Rock. Like, they're like, they've been the dude for a while. But when they said it, we were just like, yo, like, damn, like, it was surreal for sure. You know what I mean? Obama mentioned me on the inauguration address, that the situation, Snooki and JWoww are exempt from the tanning tax. That was an address to the country.
Oh, that's wild.
You know what I'm saying? That's wild. Yeah. That's legendary right
there.
And again, to have your start as a reality TV star and have the president mention you,
right.
Leo, The Rock. I was, like I said, GQ Man of the Year in 2010. All these things, like we were definitely making big waves, like making changes in entertainment because nobody wanted to even consider a reality star anybody. Like they didn't even want to be around reality stars, like, you know, like at an award show or anywhere. They just like, oh, you're a reality star? Like, oh, God.
But even now, and also you guys were special because there weren't 100 reality shows.
Yeah.
You know, it was like the real world. Like there were reality shows,
yeah.
But now we're so inundated with so many of
yes.
them that doubtful
yes.
that Leo is like, hey,
yes, facts,
you know,
facts.
One but, of yeah. the housewives.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Okay, guys, so, you know, we take care of ourselves and our health and take our vitamins and everything. But what about our kids? And meanwhile, they're the ones in cesspools of germs and, you know, putting fingers in their mouths and touching everything. So they really need their vitamins, okay? And the typical children's vitamins are basically candy in disguise. They have tons of sugar, tons of unhealthy chemicals and other gummy junk that kids shouldn't have. That's why Hiya was created. This is a pediatrician-approved, super-powered, chewable vitamin. While most children's vitamins are filled with 5 grams of sugar and can contribute to a variety of health issues, Hiya is made with zero sugar and zero gummy junk. But that doesn't mean it doesn't taste great, because it tastes great and kids love it. Hiya fills in the most common gaps in modern children's diets and provides the full body nourishment our kids need with a yummy taste they love. It's pressed with a blend of 12 organic fruits and veggies, and it's supercharged with 15 essential vitamins and minerals, including vitamin D, B12, C, zinc, folate, and many others. It's also non-GMO, vegan, dairy-free, allergy-free, gelatin-free, nut-free, and everything else you can imagine, obviously. So we got a special deal with Hiya for their best-selling children's vitamin. Receive 50% off your first order. To claim this deal, you must go to Hiya Health.com/notskinny. The deal is not available on their regular website, so you have to go to HIYA Health,
healthyadult.com/notskinny and get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults. So I'm the queen of probiotics, and you know, you guys know my gut has been just cray cray in the hey hey, and Seed probiotics have helped me so much, and I just know that I'm feeding my stomach what it needs with Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic. And even now, literally a story from today, my younger sister isn't feeling so well, so she started antibiotics and she was like, can I have 7 Seed? And I was like, why do you need 7 Seed? She's like, I need one for every day I'm taking the antibiotics. So don't be like my sister. You should take probiotics every day, not just when you take antibiotics, but the fact that she asked for Seed, because that's just the best one out there. What Seed does, it impacts, reinforces, helps and supports your digestion and your gut barrier. And it really can promote regularity. And that can all lead to smoother, clearer, and more glowing skin. Honestly, everything starts in the gut. That's a fact. So you really want to make sure you're taking a good probiotic. And Seed is the best. It's a broad spectrum probiotic and prebiotic formulated with 24 clinically and scientifically studied strains for whole body benefits. It's been tested rigorously for 14 classes of allergens. Listen to your gut with Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic. Go to seed.com/skinny and use code 25skinny to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/skinny. Code is 25skinny.
You talk a lot about money in the book and about how the money made you, you know.
It was gasoline on the fire. I mean, right. You know, when you read the book, that I was already a crazy kid, you know. And then once you gave me the millions.
But millions, then, you were making millions but not from the get.
No, from the get. From
like
the
first season.
From the jump.
Yeah.
Season one.
Yeah.
We were making a couple thousand. And again, I have the records. I have the receipts. I can go pull up the contract right now. It was a couple thousand bucks. Plus, we made alcohol money from the Shore store. You know what I'm saying? Which was
and
like
they a,
was
paid
like,
for your outings, I'm assuming, no? When you went to the club?
The $125 a week that we made from the Shore store helped pay for the shots.
Wow.
At the club. And things are different now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But back then at the first season...
So when did the money start rolling in?
Second season.
Second season already they realized like...
Second season.
Everyone negotiated.
Second season, everything was renegotiated. They handed us contracts and said like, sign here on the dotted line. And I looked at the contract and it was the same as the first season. And I was like, oh, damn. Like, I'm like, no, I kind of knew what we had filmed. In season one, the show was just was like a shooting star at the time.
Yeah.
Every talk show at night we were on. And then I was just like, what happens if we don't sign? And they're like, well, we're going to replace you. And I, at the time, which is like a make or break moment, I was like, okay, good luck. And I walked out. And then a couple weeks later, we got like $1 million raise.
Did you have a lawyer at the time, an agent, a manager?
I did. But we were called to a meeting. Like, oh, my God, congratulations. You got season two or whatever. No one thought that they were going to hand us contracts. And once we got the contracts, we were like, oh, damn. Like everybody had like deer in headlights. Like everybody's looking at each other. Like, what do we do here? And I knew, I don't know, must have been maybe there was an angel on my shoulder, intuition that had told me that we had filmed a groundbreaking cultural phenomenon. And in that moment, I walked out of the room. And about a month later, we got $1 million raise.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Were you all making the same?
Everybody made different, but there was like a couple contracts that were mirrored.
It's crazy, you guys, because this is an important lesson, too, for anybody anywhere.
Know like, your worth.
Know your worth. Nobody's going to hand you anything if you don't ask for it.
Yeah.
You know? Because they rather pay less, you know, 100%. For the good stuff.
Yeah, don't blame them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
they'll try.
Yeah.
If they can't get it.
It's how it is. Yeah.
It's how it is.
Yeah.
Would you let your kids ever watch the show?
I would probably wait till they are like...
Like way older.
Like hopefully 18, hopefully.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they'll try to watch it when they're 16. Every generation, it's like clockwork. They all watch it. All the high school kids, they watch it. The next generation of high school kids watch it.
I think who was on Charlie D'Amelio... You know Charlie D'Amelio, the TikToker?
Yeah.
She's super young. She's like 20. She was on my show. And I remember I don't even think one of the family vacations was on at the time, but I was like, what's your favorite show? Do you watch Bravo? Do that? She's like, you know what? Who's your boyfriend? Landon Barker. She's like, we're so into Jersey Shore right now.
Yeah.
And it's just wild how these things in culture.
Yeah, yeah. The generations, like when they're in high school, they watch it. And then 4 years later, another generation watches it. And you're like, oh my God, it's like almost like timeless. I don't want to say timeless train wreck, but it's kind of just kids just being really authentic. We're living, working, and partying.
I feel so grateful that I was like watching it in real time. Oh, you know, yeah. I'm 35. I was like watching it as it was. I was in that culture, fuckers. Yeah. So you're watching it now. I lived it, okay? We lived it with them. So I know you did a lot of the shit on the show you're not proud of, and you're a different man today.
Yes.
Any biggest regrets from the show that you think about?
I mean, there's always going to be, you have to think about it. Do you really have regrets if you turn your L's into lessons, right? If you use everything.
Are the L's losses? What are the L's?
An L would be a loss.
Oh, okay.
You turn an L.
I was like, a loser? loss.
But if you watch any of those movies about time travel and you go back and you change something, then you kind of change the future. And right now I am an amazing father of two babies with one on the way. I have 8 years of sobriety. I was just nominated for multiple People's Choice Awards. Like, I'm back at the top of my field, like living my best life and teaching others to do the same. Would I change anything?
Right. It's also like a game of Jenga.
Yeah.
It's like if you take out one piece, will it all end up the same?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But again, I did slam my head into a cement wall in Italy, which definitely hurt a lot, which caused me to get a sprained neck and a concussion. That wasn't the best decision at the time. Also, you know, again, not filing my taxes in 2011, which was a decision that had caused, or actually it was like 2010, but which had caused me to eventually go to prison many, many years later. That decision, right, of me on my couch.
That moment that you describe in the book.
Oh, yeah.
I told my husband about it and I was like, you have to listen to the moment.
I'm like chilling on Christmas Eve. On Christmas Eve. You know what
I mean?
We'll
get him.
Yeah. I'm like living my best life. I just made $5 million. I'm like, you know, Obama just mentioned me. I got a Ferrari outside. My brother's like my manager. He's like, you just made $5 million. You're going to have to file. And I was like, damn. And then he's like, but, you know, maybe you'll get him next year. And then I was just like, we'll get him next year. But because you want to know why? Because the year before, I didn't have to file because I didn't make any money. I was a drug dealer. You know what I'm saying?
You weren't on the bugs.
You know what I'm saying? So you think, oh, wow, no one's going to notice. No one, you know that meme? No one's going to notice.
No one's going to know.
Yeah.
They're going to know.
They're going to know. Yeah. And eventually, like clockwork, after 3 years, like clockwork, they came calling. They came knocking.
The next year, though, did you pay or were you every year saying that same thing?
I think for those 3 years of making all those millions, it wasn't done correctly. Let's just say that. Just wasn't.
Do you blame your brother at all?
Not at all. Because if you think about,
he was your manager.
He was his manager, but he was at the same time trying to fight for my life. I was a kid that was running around, you know, when we'd land for a city for an appearance and at the airport, they'd be like, where'd Mike go? Like, how do you lose one of the most famous people in the country? Like, he just ran away. Like, I would go and cop drugs from the drug dealer when I would land in a specific city. And they'd be like, oh, my God, how do you lose the situation? He's got bright blue Ed Hardy pants on. How does that happen?
Yeah, he's got camouflage.
And like rosary beads and a backwards cap. How does that happen? I was just a really wild kid. But yeah, no, the taxes were not done properly and getting back to having checks and balances and being mature. If you have checks and balances, you have to make sure to check and balance. If you're the boss, your name is on the account no matter what. If I wasn't guilty, the judge wouldn't have been able to send me to prison. But at the end of the day, the evidence that they had was like, okay, your name's on the account and it wasn't done properly.
Yeah.
You're going to prison for 8 months.
So you didn't have anything like, who do I blame for this?
No.
Because like, you took accountability.
All the work that I've done on myself with, you know, therapy, anger management, and recovery led me to having the utmost of accountability in every aspect of your life. Your life is a product of your decisions. If you are upset at any particular time about anything, go to the mirror and ask the person in the mirror to make some changes.
Yeah. How were the castmates at that time? Who would you say was most supportive of you?
At what particular time?
Like when you were going through
when I was recovering
with it? When with prison and everything.
Oh, they all were. They all rallied around. Yeah. Me. They all did. They all visited me in prison. They saw that I was doing the right thing. They were like, "Oh, Mike's turning over a new leaf. Like he really is doing the right thing. He's 3 years sober, speaking at high schools, speaking at colleges, working on the side at rehabs, helping people in need." And like when you see somebody doing the right thing and walking it the way that they talk it, it's like inspiring. And I thought my friends like rallied around me, and I'm forever grateful for their support for sure.
Who are you closest with from the cast?
I am closest with all of them, to be honest with you. We have this like, I'm not going to say secret group chat, but we have this group chat that we speak every day about everything from like politics to
and everyone's on it?
Well, not everyone. Most.
He's not on the group chat.
There are multiple group chats. There is one with everyone. You know, Sam's in it. Angelina's in it. It's like a whole cast thing. I'm sure maybe Ronnie will get back in it shortly. But then there's an MVP one. Mike, Vinny, and Pauly.
Oh, love that.
Yes. There's a Mike, Vinny, and Pauly.
And that's not the secret one?
No.
Oh.
No. Then there's the other one, which is like Vinny, JWoww, Pauly, Snooki, Dina, myself. I think that's it.
Who's missing? It's the OGs.
Yes, yeah, it's pretty much the OGs, yeah.
Wow, yeah. Amazing that you guys stayed so close for all these years.
Pauly, Vinny, Ronnie, they were best men at my wedding. You know, we really are that close.
And you're saying you hope Ronnie comes back because right now he's not talking to you guys?
Yeah, this season, y'all see. This is his season, yeah.
Oh, what did you think of his whole relationship with Jen?
Oh, that was wild.
It was wild.
Yeah, that was like, you were worried for him.
Yeah.
You know, you saw on TMZ, like, she was like running him over or something. And there was a lot of crazy run-ups. Yeah, it was probably some of the craziest stuff that you'll see. Yeah.
What about when he dated Malika?
Oh, I don't know too much about
you
that.
Don't? I heard that. I like that. I watched that show. What was that show? Like Celebrity. They were on some dating show together. What was it called? Famously Single. They had a moment. It was cute.
Yes, that's what it was. It was a moment. I don't know too much about it. Mm-hmm. I know it was a quick moment, but then I knew that with him and Jen, they were just so, I mean, I'm going to just. Toxic is the word. It's calling a spade a spade. They were super toxic. The TMZ headlines were legendary savage.
Like, and were you guys rallying around him through that? Or
we would try to talk to him, but he wasn't listening.
He wasn't there. He was shutting you
wasn't,
out.
He wasn't there. I mean, he's listening now, though.
He is.
Yeah.
And you're saying we have a lot to look forward
to.
Yeah,
you guys have a lot to look forward to for February 8th.
So when you talk about money in the book and stuff, you talk about how you let it kind of rule your life for a moment, but also, which is a lesson to everybody, and I hope that most people know it now, that money isn't everything.
Oh, yes, yes,
and,
yes.
You know, it doesn't mean that you're happy. Like you said, some of my hardest times is when I had.
Oh, yes.
When I got all this money.
Yeah, I had an epiphany in 2011. I was a multimillionaire. I had, you know, many, like two Ferraris, Lamborghini, a Porsche, and an M5 in my driveway. Like, you know, on one of the biggest TV shows in the country. I was roasting the Donald Trump at the time on Comedy Central. Not my finest appearance that day. Because I was super high and they handed me the jokes and I didn't even look at it. I was just like, I was just so high on myself and just on drugs. I took the material and usually, you know, you read it.
Right.
You practice it, tone, delivery, like, you know, in order to be successful because you're going to be in front of millions of people in probably an hour or two. But I just didn't
care. You winged it?
I winged it. I didn't care. I winged it. They were paying me six figures to show up. I was flown out on a Trump private jet, and I remember, like, in the Trump towers the night after the roast, which the first time I've gotten some booze in my career at the time, which is a learned experience, I guess, a learning experience. Everyone loved me afterwards. Trump gave me hugs, like, you know, you did a great job. Don't worry about it. You know, I just felt empty, not because of, like, the booze, not at all. I just felt empty because, like, I just had so many people pulling me in so many different directions. And I realized, I'm like, I'm a multimillionaire. Like, I'm on the biggest TV show in the country and I'm not happy. What the hell's happening right now? And then I thought to myself, when was the last time that I was really happy? And the last time that I was happy was in college, dating the love of my life and having the love of a good woman. And that's when I made the decision to seek out what was important in life. And I wouldn't bunk into my soulmate for a few years, but that was the sentiment at the time. I did call Lauren. I did call Lauren in Trump Towers.
When you had that epiphany.
And when I had that epiphany and I tried to woo her back, please leave your man that you're with right now. Almost like the old school Drake. What was that song where he's trying to, his old school song, Marvin's Room, where he's trying to like woo back the ex-girlfriend or whatever it is. Y'all research it after this. You'll laugh. Anyway, she didn't take the bait. She picked up the phone. She realized like what it was, tried to talk me off the ledge. And then that was it. And then she hung up and changed her number.
Changed her number.
She changed her number because she was almost engaged at the time.
Wow.
And her man was like, yo, like, you better change your number, you know?
So how did you end up getting her back if she was almost engaged?
About 2 years later, I heard that she went to a kickboxing gym at 8 p.m. and on a Tuesday night. And the Wednesday night, I went to the same kickboxing, same time, and she happened to be there. We locked eyes, and it was like we never lost time. She was having issues at the time with whoever she was with. She left him, and then she's been with me ever since.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, thank God for that.
Yeah, she saved my life.
And it looks like even though you went through so much, and with the show and the money and the drugs and the fame, you still had her like in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Like yep. You hadn't completely moved on from
100%
from that.
100%.
And look at you now.
Yes, yes.
Look at you now. I also know that her brother's passing.
Yeah, that was a very tough.
From an overdose?
Yes, in 2013.
Was that a turning point for you?
At the time, I was deep in addiction and I was in Spain. I had just been subpoenaed by the U.S. government that they were having an investigation on me. And it was just the worst time of my life. Like I went to the airport. I was going to Spain. And there was 8 IRS agents with the windbreakers at my gate. There's like 7 of them. Like I'm like some,
fugitive.
Like I'm John Wayne. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like something crazy. And that was like the moment I was like, wow, like this is a really big problem. And they handed the grand jury, you know, subpoenas that you're being investigated or whoever it was. And then when I got to Spain a couple of days later, I get the phone call that Lauren's brother had passed. And I was the last one to speak to him.
You were friends?
Yes. I was very close with Lauren's family.
Did you know what he was going through?
He was in a sober house at the time and he was recovering from opiates or more so could be heroin as well. And Lauren called me and she's like, I can't get a hold of my brother. He looks up to you. I'm sure if you call, he'll pick up.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I'm in Spain. I'm kind of going through my own issues, but at the same time, it doesn't matter. I'm going to make the phone call. So I call, he picks up and I'm like, Chris, man, what are you doing, man? Your family's looking for you. Please call them. Let them know you're okay. And that's it. He's like, all right, no problem, Mike. He hung up the phone with me, called his family. I'm okay. And then hung up with them. And the next morning, he didn't wake up. So it was a really, really tough moment. And that's why a lot of the work I do in recovery, the speaking engagements in colleges and high schools, I do, you know, honor his memory.
What do you say to these college and high school students about drugs? Like, don't do with them. Never try anything. Like, how do you?
No.
What's the message?
The message is you really tell your story. You're just honest. Mm. And if they're able to take something from your story and they're able to learn from some of your lessons and how you recovered. And a lot of the times that's how it's done. And how I did it was through the principles of recovery, the 12 steps, the serenity prayer, having a sponsor and things like that. The one day at a time, never giving up on yourself. The comeback is greater than the setback and things like that. So,
wow. You guys, Mike's new memoir, Reality Check, Making the Best Out of the Situation, Take a moment. How I Overcame Addiction, Loss, and Prison is out. Everybody should read it. It is just so much info, so much tea that you didn't know about. You really lay everything out there. Like, no secrets are left.
No. It's, you know, if you pick up this book, I guarantee you'll finish it in either one sitting, one day, 2 days. It's a book you can't put down. You're going to laugh. You're going to cry. You're going to be shocked, inspired. But at the same time, this book's also going to save, you know, millions of lives because it's getting out everywhere. And I think on January 2nd, my team is here. We're already discussing making it into a screenplay and a movie right now. So,
wow. Well,
the book's only been out for a couple of weeks. So everybody's loving it. Friends, family, peers, people in the industry. So we're going to push this into a movie and probably a documentary as well.
Love and can't wait. And thank God you wrote it.
I know, right?
I know.
Yeah, it took about 2 years to write it.
It took 2 years. I was going to ask you how long it took.
It took about 2 years to write it, but also 8 years to be even in the position to write. I'm 8 years sober. So if I wasn't sober and doing the right things, I wouldn't be in the position to write a
You think like at the 5 year mark, you wouldn't have been able to, you needed all that time.
I wanted to write something around the five or 6 year mark. And I started to approach people. And I was asking my team around 6 years. I asked, like, yo, we should write a book. And I'll be honest with you. I think some of the big publishers, they took the phone calls, but I think they passed. To be honest with you, y'all shouldn't have passed.
Those are the best stories, though.
Y'all shouldn't have passed on that.
Look at me now.
Y'all shouldn't have passed. Yeah, shouldn't have passed on that because everybody's talking about it now. They're going to make it into a movie. It's been all over the press for weeks now. It's going to be a bestseller.
Yes.
And look at me now.
And look at you now. Mm-hmm. Well, may you just keep on rising up, Mike, the situation. How are the abs doing?
Oh, the abs are one of my goals for 2024.
Yeah.
Along with the bestseller book and, I mean, movie and docu. But yes, that is my next thing is reveal the situation in 2024, movie, docu, and I want to do some sober houses and help some people.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much. Yeah, amazing interview.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Not Skinny But Not Fat. Follow me on Instagram at Not Skinny But Not Fat. Subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any episodes. Rate the podcast that you love so much on Apple Podcasts and write a little review. If you tell me you did, I'll give you a big virtual smoocheroo. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I'll see you next Tuesday.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.